Anyway, there's another part that you would be interested in.
Yes.
And that is the road that replaced Curtis as access.
Yes, the Parkway.
Yes.
There's a story around the Parkway.
Well, my friends in the Burning Mountain Preservation Society weren't too happy with me because part of that deal was that the forest land below the Parkway would go to the university, and we would build the Parkway, and in order to build the road, we had to cut down trees. But Curtis was a very steep incline, and the buses had a hard time getting up there, and there was a lot of pressure to develop that road. And there was a wonderful engineer. First name was Tom. I'm no good at last names. But we did a magnificent job, I think, of that road. I think it's a beautiful road. But as I say, my friends in the Preservation Society were not very happy with me for promoting and supporting that road. But I love that road. You drive down it and you can see the inlet, and you have greenery on each side, and it's a safe, divided road with plantings in the middle. And I just think it's... I don't think anything was lost to add to what was needed to do that road.
So building the Parkway and then the transfer of municipal land to SFU, that would have been in the Phillips Curtis area.
Yeah.
That was all kind of linked then.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And I think that was Lee Rankin. I don't know whether he dreamed that up, but I thought it was brilliant because that was quite valuable property at the time. I mean, it wouldn't be, the dollars wouldn't be anything now, but that was a nice little development, and I think the university was very happy with that, and it fitted right in.
Tell me about the Burnaby Mountain Preservation Society.
I'm not the best person to ask. You mentioned that you've interviewed Karen.
Yes, do you know Karen Morkey?
Yeah, we go way, way back. I don't know her well, but...
Would she have walked by your house on her way to work or back down the mountain? Because she told me she walked the mountain a lot.
I still see her walking. And I'm sure she's not working anymore, but but I think probably is Steve Mancinelli and Dean Lamont were the leaders at the time, but I think Karen was always there, and you know, I think she's like me, she feels the area. It's interesting that that group developed and we're so passionate about it, but it was sort of the times, too.
It sounded like it was very informal. It never registered as a society. Hmm. But yes, when I talked to Steve and Karen and Diane Hansen, yes, the passion was certainly there, that they wanted to make sure that the conservation area was preserved. How well did you know Dean Lamont?
Oh, quite well.
Tell me about him.
Well, quite well. The reason I say that is we used to run into each other in the gym at Cameron Rec Center and would chat a little bit there. And, you know, we were... certainly kindred spirits about the mountain, and I think he did some teaching too, so we had that in common, just, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I never got to know him on anything other than sort of a casual basis, but it was he was an interesting character. I'm sorry you've missed him in the interview, because he's important.
Yes, yes. Apparently he lives on Vancouver Island, so it would've been hard to get in touch with him. But yes, he would have been very interesting to talk to.
I wonder if you could do a phone interview.
I'll be seeing Dennis this afternoon. I'll have to talk to him about that. How important was the Burnaby Mountain Preservation Society in spurring the negotiations on?
Hard to measure any of that. I think council listens to groups, and I think their influence would have been of some significance anyway.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they certainly did a lot of work in trying to make the public aware of the value of the conservation area, especially the SFU lands, and just rallying support. They submitted petitions to the council.
I have one of the petitions, I think.
Yes. And they held these public meetings. One of them was in 1990. It was a public meeting on land use on Burnaby Mountain held at Confederation House in March 1990. And you're listed as one of the speakers. Do you remember that meeting at all?
Sorry.
Well, one of the interesting things that happened apparently at the meeting is that in one of the articles I read about it, is that Councillor Corrigan, who's a councillor then, is quoted as stating, "If SFU tries to build anything in the conservation area, it will be over my dead body." So there must have been a bit of tension there. But you don't remember the meeting. Because there was the next year, in 1991, there was another meeting. It was called the Burnaby Mountain Land Use Conference, and that was in the summer of 1991. That was an interesting meeting because Chief Leonard George spoke at it. Does that ring a bell at all? Okay. I know this is all long ago, isn't it? The Simon Fraser University Liaison Committee was created in 1991. This is the one that Lee Rankin chaired and carried on the negotiations. Would you have met with the liaison committee at all?
I don't know who would have been on the liaison committee. We had meetings with the president and Barbara Copping and myself.
Uh-huh.
And Lee. And I guess, trying to think of the vice president, really nice man.
Oh, was that Blaine?
Yes.
Yes.
Blaney.
Blaney, right. And Dr. Stubbs. Now, he became president in 1993, and at that point it seemed like the negotiations became much more productive. Do you remember that at all?
He was quite an impressive guy, and I don't know what impact he would have had, but I think Jack Blaney was probably the main one that was working on this for some time, and I think he had a nice way about him that is effective in getting things done.
Okay.
And he doesn't ruffle any feathers, very, very smooth. And good to work with.
So you would have worked with Jack Blaney, and who else then would you have been meeting with?
Well, I don't think there was all that many meetings, but it was mainly Jack and Lee and Barbara and I that I remember.
And what kinds of things would you talk about?
Well, by the time we got to talk, I think most of the groundwork had been done, and it was what I mentioned was the development of the subdivision and below the road and the preservation outside the ring road and resulted in the final agreement. And there's a marker up by the restaurant that commemorates the final signing of turning the area into parkland.
That would have been in 1996 then, the final signing. I think the memorandum of agreement was in the fall of 95, and then SFU had to go through the zoning and creating their community plan, and then in 96 it was in September it was signed. Do you remember the event at all?
Oh yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Tell me about that.
Well, it was just a small outdoor ceremony and an unveiling of the plaque. And
Who would have been there?
No, Mike Harcourt was there, and so I think he would still have been premier, but I'm not sure of the date now. But council members and university members members representing the province, Barbara Copping and myself, and it was nice. It was nice. And anything that happens in that space, it's a beautiful space.
So I was going to ask how you're feeling about the people who played major roles in reaching that agreement. You've mentioned Jack Blaney and Lee Rankin, Barbara Copping.
Barbara Copping and I were representing the province, but our role was minor. But I think Lee Rankin was the major architect of he and Jack Blaney making it work. I mean, it was a situation where the university and the city were at loggerheads for so many years, and it was so counterproductive, and to get past that and make the deal was a big success.
Why do you suppose it went on for almost three decades and not
resolved? Well, I think the university and the city are powerful institutions, and they want their way. And they had to end up compromising, but there was not a lot of desire to compromise for a lot of years.
Mm-hmm. Why do you suppose in 91 they decided that they needed to compromise?
I think it had just gone on too long. It was silly. It was silly.
It did sound like SFU was really poised to expand. It really needed to have clarity, I guess.
I have a letter from the university that you might be interested in. And I mean, their nose was very much out of joint that the city was holding hearings and doing things and having plans, and the consultation had not been good. And I think that was symptomatic of the time, that they were not getting along.